Amen. Let's go to John 3:16 quickly. I'm going to practice good clock management tonight. Everybody said? Yeah. Okay. So I'd say, go for it, Pastor. Okay. Okay, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Okay. Amen. How many of you are familiar with what happened in the garden? Yeah, of Eden. Yeah. I know there are a lot of gardens out there, right? You know, the Garden of Eden, not Springfield Gardens. Not at all. Okay. Well, basically, Adam was given some specific instructions, was he not? Okay. And the problem was that he didn't keep them. He failed. When God said, do not eat from the tree in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge and good of good and evil, he said, for the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. That should have been enough. But something happened, and Adam and Eve, or actually in order, Eve and Adam, ate from the tree. So my question to you is, why did they do that? Why did they eat from the tree? Talk to me. Well, I'll tell you, what was needed was there, but was misapplied. See, they sinned because their obedience to God was absent. Obedience was there, but it was misapplied. They were not obedient to God. They were obedient to their own desires. And that's the problem that we have, and that's the problem we need to understand. We, 24 hours a day, every single day, we walk in obedience. We don't always walk in obedience to God. So my question is, who's the recipient of your obedience? That's what we need to think about. Obedience is a given. You cannot get through life without obedience. Think about it. If your lungs are not obedient to the signals it get to breathe, where's that going to leave you? Okay. I'm walking around. When the signal comes to my legs to tell it to move in a certain direction, if they're disobedient, I'm in trouble. So everything that we do is based on obedience, and we need to understand that. But it's obedience to who? Obedience to what? How many of you got up this morning? Why? Why'd you get up this morning? Why didn't you stay in bed? No, I'm saying it's not true. Why didn't you just stay in bed? Turn on the TV? Okay. How many of you, let me ask you this way. How many of you have bodies that said, why can't you stay here for another hour? Okay. You had a choice. You could either be obedient to fulfill your responsibilities for the day, or you could be obedient to what your body's telling you. See, it's your choice. And we need to understand that. We blame the devil. That's the only reason why, that's the only area I feel a little sorry for him. He gets blamed for stuff he didn't do. And the only reason I say that because I'm not saved enough sometimes. I don't like being blamed for something that I did not do. If I did it, I did it. But if I didn't do it, I still have to work through, you know, when someone accuses me falsely. But we need to understand that, no, it's not the devil that's causing you to do things. Yeah, you're presented with an opportunity. Go to Luke 4. As usual, I'm way ahead, but it's okay. Because we need to understand, if the devil could make us be disobedient, he would have done it in this account. Starting with verse 1, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered, I'm sure. And the devil said to him, say, the devil said. Okay. The devil said to him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Okay. His obedience is being challenged right now, because he has to choose whether he's going to be obedient to what the devil said or be obedient to what God said. Is he going to be obedient to who the devil wants him to become, or is he going to be obedient to who he is? That's the choice that he had to make. And that's a choice that we have to make every single day. Jesus answered. Say, he answered. Yes. So you're going to have to answer. Anytime your obedience is called upon, you're going to have to give an answer. You can't straddle the fence. You're going to have to make a choice. But he answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil tried two more times, and Jesus wasn't buying. He was not going to give his obedience to anyone except God. And it didn't matter how hungry he was, didn't matter that he was going to have to wait to get some of the things that the devil wanted to offer him, because that's how we get in trouble. There are things that God said is ours, but it takes too long for it to come. So we do things to try and help it along. You know, God say, I'm going to give you a mate. Oh, boy, why'd he say that? We go out, put on a glass, I'm focusing in. Some of us get even a sniper scope and start looking, because we want to get every little detail. And we go out and sometimes we make some horrible choices because we weren't obedient to just wait. We were obedient to our desire to want, and we go out there and get it. But if we're going to be a believer, we're going to have to learn that the only one that deserves our obedience is God. And it's a hard saying, but if God is not the recipient of your obedience, then you're in rebellion. And we need to understand that. Let me give you this definition. Complying with or submissive to authority, hearkening to a command. What do you think that's the definition of? Obedience. Resistance to or defiance of any authority, control, or tradition. Rebellion. So in any situation, we're either going to give our obedience to God, but if we choose to give our obedience to something or someone else, then we've given rebellion to God. And we have to understand that, because it patterns our lives. It causes us to walk into, it'll either cause us to walk into the fullness of God or somewhere else where we don't want to go. Just by understanding to whom am I giving my obedience? Now I want to go back toward the beginning just to give you some basic definitions. I always like the definition of this word, obedience or obey. And interestingly enough, they took it used to be on the online Strong's Concordance, they took it off. But it's still in the written version where I first saw it. This definition of obedience from Scripture says, if you are willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. It's the Hebrew word shema, S-H-A-M-A-H, and one of the definitions is to hear intelligently. See, when we are obedient, we are hearing intelligently. The Greek says, the Greek word means to listen or to hearken to a command or to submit. The dictionary says it's obeying or willing to obey. It's complying with or submissive to authority. Those are all definitions for obedience. And why is obedience important? Well, I already read one scripture in Isaiah where it said, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. So if you are not experiencing the good of the land, we need to see where our obedience is going. Because this word tells us, if I am willing and obedient, and the inference is obedient to who? To God, what will happen to you? You'll eat. How many of you want the good of the land? I'm telling you, eat that sucker up. Okay. But we're going to have to be obedient if that's what we're going to do. Look at John 14. This is out of the Amplified Bible. Can answering the question, is obedience important? Jesus said, if you really love me, you will obey my commands. So Jesus said, if you really love me, I mean, you really, really, really love me, you'll be obedient to what I say. If you really love me, I will always be the recipient of your obedience, if you really love me. So when we find ourselves going contrary to what we know God said, we have to ask ourselves a question. What is it that caused me to stop loving him? Because if I loved him, he'd have my obedience. So it has to mean, conversely, that if he doesn't have my obedience, then I must not love him. Because we can't have it both ways. And the reason we're going in this direction is something has to kick in when we have this choice to make. There has to be something that will sway us over to make sure God is the recipient of our obedience. We can't just take it by chance. There has to be a reason as to why we want God to be the recipient. So that means we would have to have a relationship with him, know what he's about, and know how much he genuinely cares for us. Because if we know those things, there is no way we'd allow anyone else to have our obedience. We know the world was formed by the word of God, but when you think about it, this world was formed because of obedience. God said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. There was light. It didn't matter what had to happen for light to be. Whatever it was that had to happen, happened because light was going to be obedient to God's voice. And it was the same thing with everything else he made. And he only had to say it once. Human beings are the only ones he has to keep saying things to over and over and over. Everything else does what they're supposed to do. I was thinking about this today. I said, that's interesting. He spoke everything else, and then it immediately came into being, but he had to fashion us. I'm wondering what would have happened if he said, man, be. Some of us would have been in trouble. Okay. But again, the issue's not obedience, because obedience is there. We have to determine who's going to be the recipient. What's going to be the recipient? Let me give you a funny example. Let's say it's 9:45 p.m. It's not, but let's say it's 9:45. Carville closes at 10. I happen to know this for a fact. Nah, we don't have to get into how I know. Okay. Suffice it to say, I know for a fact that Carvel in the Pathmark Mall closes at 10. Okay. But it's 9:45. Now, your nutritionist has said, if you need a snack and you like ice cream, so just have some slightly frozen berries. But just a cup, not a big bowl. Your body is saying, I want a hot fudge sundae with strawberries and nuts and black cherries. Okay. Your spirit is saying, it is too late to have any sweets in your body. Well, you do. You jump in your car and floor it and make it over to Carvel. But you have these three things pulling at you. All of them are demanding your obedience. What are you going to base your choice on? See, we have to get that part settled. The Bible says, if we're the children of God, we're led by the Spirit of God. So we need to become very adept at finding out, what is my spirit saying to me? In that case, it's probably saying, it's too late to put any sweets in your body. If anything, drink a glass of water and go to bed and get some rest. But I have to choose what's getting my obedience. Am I going to give in to the cravings of my flesh? Am I going to give in to the knowledge given to me by my nutritionist? Or am I going to submit to the prompting in my spirit from the Holy Ghost as to what I should do? See, those are the questions we have to ask ourselves. Because it's very rarely just two choices. Sometimes we could do any number of things. All of them are demanding, be obedient to me. But we have to find out what God wants, because we want to live. And we want to have a life much more abundantly. See, when God is the recipient of our obedience, we'll love the way Jesus told us to. We'll forgive the way we've been instructed. And you know what else we'll do? We'll serve where God told us. See, when he told me to serve, I didn't like his choice. So I was obedient to me. I joined the host. And I figured God will be happy I'm serving. But he specifically said, youth fellowship. And I specifically said, you must be out of your mind. I'm just being honest with you. And I joined the host. I was in rebellion, folks, and thought I was doing something, because I'm serving. I don't miss an assignment. Like, they could depend on me. But I'm in rebellion. Because obedience says, join the youth fellowship. Because that's where the Spirit directed me. And I had to join the youth fellowship. Things were not going well with me. And I told you this before, and I was blaming my wife. It was her fault. I was the one that was in rebellion. and nothing was working. And I'd be whining just like a lot of folks, God, I'm doing what you told me to do. Lie, no, I wasn't. I'm tithing, and I was. I'm living right, and I was. But I really wasn't, because I'm still in rebellion, because I gave my flesh my obedience, and I didn't give it to God. When I made the choice to give God my obedience, I joined the youth fellowship. Some of you, God has been speaking about where he wants you to serve. And you don't want to do it, so you've given yourself your obedience. And you haven't given your obedience to God and filled out the Ministry of Health's application and checked off the boxes that he told you. And you're wondering why it's not going well with you. You're in rebellion. Because you are not giving God your obedience. You're giving it to you. We don't deserve our obedience. God does. I didn't die for me. But Jesus did. And we need to understand that. Remember, rebellion is resistance to or defiance of any authority, control, or tradition. I gotta tell you this. And this is a hard thought. This could be a hard thought. You know how I do? Pat your neighbor on the shoulder, tell them it's gonna be okay. Tell them they can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. Tell them you'll be okay, I promise. Okay. All right. Remember I told you that a definition in the written Strong's for obedience was to hear intelligently? I found another definition for a word. And this definition is to act in an unintelligent manner. What do you think that word is? Well, turn to Proverbs 12. Are we there? Read verse 1 out loud, please. Wait a minute, is everyone there? All right, let everybody get there. Proverbs 12. Okay, let's read it out loud together. Loves discipline, loves knowledge. You know what's going to happen if you don't do it, and you still don't do it. Okay. I mean, that's what it was. How many of you have ever done something wrong as a child? Okay. How many of you have ever been punished by it? How many of you enjoyed the punishment? How many of you got punished for the same thing more than once? Why? Okay. That's the question. Why? See, we knew it was wrong. We knew what was going to happen. We even knew how it felt. But we did it again. We did it again. Why would we give our obedience to someone that's going to cause us pain? I learned very quickly. I did something once. My next door neighbor, then my best friend, I let him talk me into doing something. Actually, I let him make it so enticing, I chose to do it. And when mommy found out, she sent me to the mulberry tree and proceeded to try and peel me like a grape. Okay. And about 2 days later, I got in a fight with my best friend because when I was finally able to come back outside, he heard me screaming. He heard the whipping, and he was mocking it. No, but I learned something. See, you can allow someone to talk you into giving your obedience to someone other than God, but when you're having a hard time because of it, they're not going to come and say, God, put that on me because I talked them into it. You need to think about that. That's why it says, be not deceived. Evil company corrupts good behavior, period. So you need to choose your friends wisely, okay? You want to be around people that are going to encourage you to only give your obedience to God. Because he's first of all, he's the only one that's going to handle it the right way. He'll never abuse your obedience. People will. But this verse says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. And we need to make sure that we're never guilty of being stupid, no matter how much pressure we're placed under. Look in Acts 5. Believe it or not, I'm almost done. I'm in the Voice translation, and I'm beginning at verse 15. It says, the church's renown was so great that when Peter walked down the street, people would carry out their sick relatives, hoping his shadow would fall on some of them as he passed. Even people from towns surrounding Jerusalem would come, bringing others who were sick or tormented by unclean spirits, all of whom were cured. Of course, this popularity elicited a response. The high priest and his affiliates in the Sadducean party were jealous. So they arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But that night, a messenger of the Lord opened the doors of the prison and led them to freedom. The messenger of the Lord said, he didn't say, get out of town. He said to them, go to the temple and stand up to tell the people the whole message about this way of life from Jesus. At dawn, they did as they were told. At dawn, they gave their obedience to Jesus. And they returned to their teaching in the temple. Meanwhile, the council of Jewish elders were gathering, convened by the high priest and his colleagues. They sent the temple police to the prison to have the Lord's emissaries brought for further examination. But of course, the temple police soon realized they weren't there. They returned and reported. The prison was secure and locked, and the guards were standing in front of the doors. But when we locked the doors, the cell was empty. It makes me wonder what happened to the guards during that time. The captain of the temple police and the senior priests were completely mystified when they heard this. They had no idea what had happened. Just then, someone arrived with this news. You know those men you put in prison last night? Well, they're free. At this moment, they're at it again, teaching our people in the temple. The temple police, this time accompanied by their captain, rushed over to the temple and brought the emissaries of the Lord to the council. They were careful not to use violence because the people were so supportive of them that the police feared being stoned by the crowd if they were too rough. Once again, the men stood before the high council. The high priest began the questioning. Didn't we give you strict orders to stop teaching in this name? But here you are spreading your teaching throughout Jerusalem, and you are determined to blame us for this man's death. Peter and the apostles respond, if we have to choose between obedience to God and obedience to any human authority, then we must obey God. Folks, if you have to choose between obedience to God and obedience to anything or anyone else, you must choose obedience to God. You must. Move forward, please, to 1 Peter. Everyone say, Jesus is going to be the only recipient of my obedience. Right? 1 Peter 1 says, so brace up your minds. This is in the Amplified Bible. Be sober, circumspect, morally alert. Set your hope wholly and unchangeably on the grace, divine favor that is coming to you when Jesus Christ the Messiah is revealed. Live as children of obedience to God. Say, I'm going to live as children of obedience to God. It says, do not conform yourselves to the evil desires that governed you in your former ignorance when you did not know the requirements of the gospel. There's a clue there, folks. If we're going to give our obedience to God, we're going to have to know what he requires. We're going to have to find out what are the requirements of the gospel and then apply them to every area of our life. Even whether or not you should go and treat yourself to an ice cream sundae. You need to get permission. From who? From Dad. Because, see, how many of you know exactly what's happening in your body right now? Exactly. But who does? So we may eat something that could start a series of events going. But God knows that, so he'll say, don't eat that. Don't eat it. There are times I've gone into the supermarket, and I got things and put them in the cart, went down a couple aisles, like made a U-turn, came right back, said, all right, and put them back on the shelf. Then I tried to fool Dad by saying, hey, you know, I can do it. It's the opposite of a Lay's potato chip. I can only eat one. He said, yeah, right, one bag. And he was right. So I just left. I started thinking about it in terms of what Pastor Sarah said concerning smoking cigarettes and ice cream. She said she bought it, put it on the counter, walked over to the other side of the room and looked at it and said, and asked God, you know, can I have it? God said, if it can get out of that container and into your mouth without anyone's help, you can eat it. And naturally, it didn't happen. It didn't happen. I have learned that when I'm craving something, I don't get it. Because if I give into that crave, I'm going to give into every crave. So if I'd like to have something, I might consider. But if my body is saying, you gotta get it, gotta get it now, I'm going to say no. Because I've found out what saying yes to it does. And I've spent enough time in emergency rooms. I'll tell you that right now. Okay. John 15. I'm in the Amplified Bible again. This is the last scripture I'm going to share. Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, if you continue to obey my instructions, you will abide in my love and live on in it. Just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and live on in his love. If you make me the recipient of your obedience, and you continue to do so, you'll abide in my love and you'll live on in it. But we have to make the choice. We're the only ones, folks, that can decide who gets our obedience. Obedience is there. Like I said, you can't get through a day without it. Everything you do requires obedience. But you decide who's going to get yours. I strongly suggest that you give it to God and only God.